Welcome to the ProWrestling.net free podcast for Monday, January 15th, 2018. I am Jason Powell, and coming up after this brief break for non-members, I will be joined by Ring of Honor / Women of Honor wrestler Kelly Klein as she discusses the first ever Women of Honor Championship Tournament that will begin on Saturday in Nashville, Tennessee at the Municipal Auditorium. Ring of Honor presents the Women of Honor Tournament that will crown the first ever Women of Honor Champion. The 16-woman tournament begins on Saturday in Nashville, Tennessee at Municipal Auditorium. And it's expected to include my guest today, Kelly Klein. First of all, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I know you're in the middle of moving, and so I appreciate you taking time out of that to join us for a little bit here. But now, you haven't been officially announced for the tournament, but I assume it's safe to say you're in the tournament.
Well, of course. I mean, that would just be silly.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how you could have a tournament for the first women's champion without having me in it.
You got to have the gatekeeper, right?
Well, right. I mean, otherwise, like, just scrap the tournament and give me the belt. But I don't like that. I don't want that. I want to, you know, earn it. So I'll go ahead and do the tournament.
Exactly. And now, I don't expect you to spill the beans here. I'm sure they've got a schedule they want to announce things on. But, I mean, do you know what you're doing at the tournament? And will you be there in Nashville this weekend for the beginning of it?
I will be in Nashville. I don't know everything that is going on. So I don't know what the first round bracket and everything looks like. I know they've announced, I think, Karen Q and Brandi Rhodes, and they've announced Madison Rayne and Mandy Rion. So I don't know what all they have planned, what they've got up their sleeve.
But we know you'll be there in Nashville and certainly in the tournament. Well, I think the obvious question when it comes to the Women of Honor Championship is, why has it taken so long?
Well, that's been something that people have been asking from the start, and I understand and I appreciate that because I know that people have been very anxious to see it happen, and that is the attitude that has brought it about. But something that people kind of need to understand and help them be a little, you know, a little patient and know that things are happening is that there are so many moving parts and so many things that have to be in place in order to make something like this happen. So truly, this has been something that has been on the agenda for longer than people even know. And it's been this kind of like long plan that included getting the women onto the events, establishing a core roster. I mean, in the first year, I want to say we've had like 30 women, more than 30 women over the last couple of years come through Women of Honor.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been a lot of women who've competed in Women of Honor, and you know, some haven't been back and maybe they will be again, you know, within the next couple of years. I don't know, but I mean, we've just been looking at a lot of people. The Ring of Honor office has been looking at all these people and, you know, figuring out who is going to be a good fit. And of course the women as well, you know, seeing if they feel like it's a good fit for them. And so all of that stuff takes a lot of time. And, you know, then we've just taken steps where it's like, okay, first for a long time, we weren't on every event. And then it got to be where we were on almost every event and even had multiple matches on a lot of events. And then we got to where I think last or the year before, we had three full Women of Honor episodes, and then we've appeared on other episodes. And then this past year, it's kind of confusing because we just had a new year. So it's like,
right.
But in 2017, for the first time, were represented on a pay-per-view, where in the past we had dark matches on, you know, but that didn't appear actually on the pay-per-view stream. So it's all these things that are, you know, it feels like it takes forever for the people who are waiting for this end goal to materialize, because you're just like, it's like waiting for Santa, and you're like, okay, when is it going to happen? But it's all these things that have to fall into place, and that's been what everybody's really been working on for a long time, to make sure that when we do this, it will be successful, and that all of the parts will be in place and in operation, and everybody will be ready to make the most of it, because the worst thing would be to do it too soon and not be able to really capitalize and not be able to bring the fans the best thing that we can. So that's what we've been doing. I mean, for the last 2 years, it's all been moving this direction and toward this goal. And then once this happens, it's going to be on to the next thing that we're going to be working toward and building toward.
Now, I mean, I've heard everything over the years from, there was a reality-based show that Maria Kanellis and Delirious pitched at one point, and maybe a standalone women's show on Sinclair Broadcast Group. And I'm sure you've heard probably even, you know, more rumblings of things of that nature during your time with the company. How hard has it been? I mean, you're sounding like you're pretty patient about this process, but were there some doubts along the way, wondering, is this ever going to happen?
I think that we all have that sort of impatience, because we, as far as the women and people that are involved in the women's project, you know, that's our focus. So it's easy to get tunnel vision and think like, okay, I want to do this, let's do this. But it does depend on the company as a whole. And unfortunately, we can't just kick off half the men's roster and say, okay, well, you know, put us in those spots. There's already an established roster, and just like anybody else, you know, we've got to work our stuff into the existing equation. So, you know, there have certainly been times where there's something I have in mind or an idea that either I've presented or that someone else has presented, and we're thinking, okay, why can't we just do this right now? But you know, we can't do everything all at once, and there are a lot of great ideas, and we have to sort of prioritize and come up with game plans and figure out what's going to be the best thing to really focus our effort and our time on, because something like that reality show is something that has really, you know, kind of come up here and there many times in different types of projects like that. And I think that things like that are great ideas. But right now, we want to focus our manpower and our time and our energy on making sure that this division really gets off the ground and continues accelerating, rather than split our focus and the time and the money and the manpower and everything into another really big project. So to me, I think that that's something that I would love to see happen in the future, and I think it absolutely can happen in the future, but I think that some other things need to sort of be to the point where they're kind of really running smoothly, and then we can focus on folding in another big project. But in the meantime, you know, we have to really continue focus on growing and just establishing these kinds of first steps.
And do you know, is the tournament itself going to take place on the actual television show? Will that be something that's on YouTube only, as Women of Honor seems to be now?
I actually don't know a lot of those details. And maybe I sometimes should ask just so that I can answer questions like these. But truly, my focus is always just to, you know, be ready for my next match. And my philosophy is kind of that if we are all focusing on those things and presenting our best, that inevitably those things are going to happen, where, you know, we got the women's episodes and then we got represented more and got on the pay-per-view and have this tournament. And so that's kind of my approach. And then, of course, if time goes by and then I see, like, okay, things aren't really progressing, then maybe I would start to kind of ask questions and voice concerns. But right now, I really just trust the team so much that we're working with, that I just don't right now ask those kinds of questions. I just really feel like we're in such good hands, and I want everybody really to know that, because I know I see sometimes comments where fans say negative things, like they think that Ring of Honor and Sinclair have negative attitudes toward women and toward women's wrestling. But the truth is, none of this ever would have happened if that were the case, because they didn't have to put any women's matches on ever, and they've been doing that. It's been growing. They, you know, are flying women all across the country to do this, having a belt made, you know, featuring this tournament. So that's just not true. That, you know, for people that are getting frustrated, and I know they get frustrated and impatient, but the truth is that we have some really great people on our team that want this to be successful, and that's why we're, you know, all trying to be smart about it and do it the right way so that it will be successful.
Just because of the infrequency, and I know it's grown over time, what has the dynamic been like for Women of Honor within the locker room? Is it just another booking? Is there more of a team approach in feeling like this is really going somewhere? Maybe just speak on that if you could.
I think that there's definitely a team approach, and part of that is kind of the chicken and the egg scenario, because, you know, on one hand, the team approach determines and has helped determine which women have stuck around. And some of that comes from the office, if they have felt like somebody doesn't share that philosophy and isn't going to approach this as a team, then there may be someone that's not invited back. And then there are other people who, if they honestly look and think that they don't feel like they are in a place where they want to be a part of what we're doing and where we are in it, because this is a big undertaking, then they may decide that there's something else that's better for them or right for them, and that's okay too. So as far as on both ends, the women who have stuck around and then the women who have, you know, continually been asked to be a part of it, you know, we do have that team attitude. We have to for this to work.
So this long ride you've been on, waiting for this moment, when did you actually find out about the women's championship in the tournament?
Way before everybody else did. I've known about, and like I said, you know, there were so many pieces that had to get into place, and I knew that I knew about a lot of the pieces that were being set into place and things that were being set into motion. So I've just knowing that they've been working toward those things, I've been able to just kind of be patient, because I knew that that really was happening, and that even though I didn't necessarily know the details as far as how things would be executed, I knew that there were you know, pieces just being put into place.
This is a generic question, but I'm genuinely interested. Tell me about how you ended up getting started in the pro wrestling business in general. Were you a fan? How did you get into this crazy industry?
I did not grow up as a fan in professional wrestling. I was actually not allowed to watch wrestling, and my mom's here, so she can hear me tell this story if she hasn't. But I have this memory of when I want to say I was like, I was young. I was probably, I want to say I was like 4 or 5, but I think my mom had my little sister. I'm 3.5 years older than my little sister. And I remember sometimes in the morning, on Sunday morning, they used to have wrestling on the TV, and we didn't have cable. So it was before it just became cable only. And so sometimes my mom would be getting the baby ready for church. And I remember one time I was downstairs, and I think with my dad and maybe my other brother and sister, I'm not sure, but wrestling was on TV, and then mom came down, and I think she said, no, we're not going to watch this anymore. So now that was the beginning of the Attitude Era. So you can, sure, you know, you can guess what the heck was probably on the TV at that time. I don't really remember, but you know, we all know the Attitude Era was probably not something that a mom would want her 5-year-old watching, and that's completely fair.
Good job, Mom.
Yeah, good job, Mom. So after that, I never really had any exposure to professional wrestling. The only exposure I had to wrestling was from when I was 5 years old, was going to my brother's high school wrestling meet. And then also my brother coming home from wrestling practice and being like, look, we learned an inside cradle. Let me show you. So when I was about 19, I think, I was singing in a rock band and I was also waitressing. And my band had a gig that I told the other people at the restaurant I worked at and invited people to come to our performance. And somebody said, well, if you get your band to come see me wrestle, then I'll come see your band. So I thought, okay, what the heck? Like, that sounds interesting. I'll check it out. So, that was more of my attitude, was like, wow, that sounds really different. And, so I went to this independent wrestling event, and it was a Heartland Wrestling Association. It was the first live wrestling event I ever saw, and before I even left, had decided I wanted to do it. And it took a couple of months before I was able to get enough information to figure out how to go about training. But I never had a moment where I left there and thought, oh, I want to come back and watch this. I immediately thought, okay, how do I get in that ring?
Wow. And so you work for a lot of years on the Midwest independent scene. How does that influence your style? I mean, maybe you don't notice it at the time, but maybe you do once you start working with women who, trained in other areas.
Well, I think one of the biggest sort of differences in area would be if you get in the South, like Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, is when you'll get to what kind of is a different style. But I feel like I've always been pretty adaptable and been able to adjust to different styles and different audiences, because at the end of the day, my goal is to tell a compelling story, and there are so many different ways to do that. And over the years, I've gotten better, too, at kind of reading my audience and figuring out what is going to sort of inspire them and what they're going to be invested in. So while there's a difference in sort of the way they tell the story in certain areas, I don't feel like I've ever really struggled with that. I just kind of figure out what the landscape is and do my best to go with that. But as far as what really influenced me wasn't so much the area I was in. It was more growing up around my brother and dad in wrestling. And that's why you'll see that I like a lot of mat-based and submission style work. And some of the wrestlers that I really enjoy watching, even if anybody saw a match that I shared recently, was Josh Woods and Jonathan Gresham.
Oh, sure.
And I love what they did, and I love watching guys like that. I loved watching, like the Malenkos and Guerreros and Benoit and Regal and all of those guys that have that really technical style.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was really influenced by that Greco-Roman and amateur and catch wrestling style.
And so how do you go, you pay your dues on the indie scene, all this, how do you end up in Ring of Honor?
Well, you don't end up in Ring of Honor.
Fair enough.
You work your butt off.
Right.
And then I went online and I applied for a tryout seminar. I sent in the fee and, got my flight and hotel, and I went to Bristol to the Ring of Honor dojo. Before the actual tryout seminar, I was working with Les Thatcher and Tarek, who's one of Les's kids who came before I did. So they were training in this area, and I trained with them and was just really focusing on preparing for my tryout. And I went, and I had to not only contend with about 50 male wrestlers, but I had to make an impression, and I did that. I made an impression and I stood out even among all of those men and working with and keeping up with and sometimes surpassing them. And that's what is necessary. And that was what was necessary for me, was to, you know, to go and leave it all in the ring, so to speak, and just prove that I was going to be able to, you know, perform at the level that they were going to need me to, and that I was going to be able to fill the role that they were looking to fill. And they didn't tell me right away. They didn't tell me at the tryout. At the time, they kind of lined people up and they said, okay, just based on this weekend, we're going to say if we think you're ready to be on TV tomorrow. And they said, no, you're not ready to be on TV tomorrow. And they were right. I mean, I was presenting a new idea for characters, so I didn't really have gear because my gear for what I had been doing on the indies was completely different than what I would eventually be doing for Ring of Honor. So then it was a couple of months later that I got a phone call and they asked if I could be at a certain event, and they wanted to introduce me, and then they asked about so it was the end of September. They wanted me to be introduced in California, PA, and then they wanted me to do my first match October 24th, 2015 in Dayton, Ohio. And those went well, and then, you know, they just kind of keep asking you back. And then so that's why it's like, to me, I always want to, every time, you know, prove myself and prove that I still belong there, and you never, you know, phone it in or coast. It's just every time you have to, you know, earn the right to keep your position. So that's what I've been doing for the last over 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I know we're short on time here, so I want to kind of wind things down. But when Kelly Klein's career is over, what do you want to look back and say, I did that? You know, what is your ultimate goal in the professional wrestling industry?
I just want to know that I tried my hardest, and I know that sounds really kind of generic and cliche.
Yeah, so is the question.
I've already been able to do a lot of things that other people told me I couldn't do, and that sometimes I believe that I couldn't do, and the only time that was true was when I was believing it, when I was telling myself that I couldn't do it, when I told myself that there was an age window, or that there, you know, were only certain opportunities for women or for women like me. And when I, you know, got past that and threw that out the window, that's when I was able to start achieving things. So, you know, now I'm able to look back and say, okay, I've gotten to go wrestle in Japan, and I've wrestled in Canada. A goal this year is to wrestle in the United Kingdom, to appear on a Ring of Honor TV episode and to appear on pay-per-view. All of these things are things that for a long time I never thought were even really on the table for me. So that's kind of right now, to me, everything is a bonus, because I've just gone past what myself and other people had said was going to be there for me, was going to happen for me. So I'm just like, every time I, you know, meet one goal, it's like, okay, what's the next goal? What else can I do? And, you know, that includes traveling to every place that I possibly can to wrestle, you know, and working in a lot of different aspects and a lot of different roles in wrestling, as far as, you know, I'm trying to learn about everything so that my career doesn't end, but that maybe I step or transition from in the ring to other roles. So, you know, I'm loving it, and I just want to kind of keep the momentum going and keep setting new goals to reach.
And Mom has come around on this whole pro wrestling thing?
She once said something along the lines of, if Kelly decides she's going to do something, you just kind of go along for the ride. So, yeah, you.
Well, anything you want to plug.
She said, once I make up my mind, it's going to happen. That's what she corrected me on my paraphrase.
There you go. Well, anything you'd like to plug? Any social media, Pro Wrestling Tees, anything like that?
So Pro Wrestling Tees is, my store is Kelly Klein. There's some fun stuff on there, and I'm going to be putting some new stuff on there soon. All of my social media is really easy. Every single one, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, you can find by searching for Real Kelly Klein, R-E-A-L-K-E-L-L-Y-K-L-E-I-N. And then, of course, I will be appearing in Nashville this upcoming week, and there will be a lot of really awesome Women of Honor there. So if you've got your ticket, make sure you get there early, get to the meet and greet, and don't miss anything. You want to be there for the dark matches, you want to be there for everything. So that's the next upcoming thing. And then my plan is to be at every date in the foreseeable future. But as far as what, I know for sure, I'll be in Nashville, and then, just kind of keep an eye on things as we make more announcements, and I'll announce when I know that I'll be in different towns. But as many people probably have seen in different, articles and analytics, the Ring of Honor shows have been selling out pretty quickly. So everybody make sure you check out ROHWrestling.com. Keep an eye on tickets for events near you, because you're not likely to be able to come to the door and get a ticket anymore, which is really great and really exciting. But I don't want people who really want to be there to miss out. So keep an eye on that.
And for the love of God, Colt Cabana, have this woman on your podcast.
Thank you. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we're just scratching the surface today. You've got a great story to tell.
See, I think so. Maybe I didn't annoy him quite enough yet, so I'll have to step it up.
Well, good luck with that. Thank you for everything, and best of luck with the move. I know what hell that can be, so hopefully it goes smoothly.
It'll be so great when it's over. Thank you so much.